The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Our first guest today has written a tender, beautifully written essay collection that is about so much more than parenting a child with disability. Here to tell us more, welcome the author, Adele Purdom.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome, Adele. Now, I like this title, but I need you to explain it slightly. So, I Don't Do Disability and Other Lies I've Told Myself. That's the title of the book. Tell us why.
So, when I was about 16 years old, I was this kind of, you know, teenager who loved to volunteer. I did all this, you know, raking leaves for the elderly, teaching children's gymnastics. But I remember distinctly one day walking across the field of my high school and thinking, why am I not volunteering with individuals with intellectual disabilities? And I sort of came to my own rescue and said, you know, in my own head and said, that's okay. You know, I just don't do disability. And I had this idea that if I distanced myself and those that I loved from people with disabilities, that, you know, it wouldn't impact me or my life. And then fast forward, I guess it was about, you know, 10, 12 years from there. I was 28 actually, when I gave birth to my daughter with Down syndrome. And then I realized that story, I don't do disability, really couldn't hold anymore. And so this book is about me as a mother to a child with Down syndrome, confronting my own ableism.
Yeah.
And just to sort of finish that thought about disability, what I've come to see is that disability, you know, it isn't something that you do or don't do. It's just simply part of the human condition.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think we would all be in the same position. Because it's the unknown more than anything. But I mean, I'm just looking at photos on your website, and she's an absolute sweetheart, isn't she, your daughter? I can see her now in a little pink top. The thing is, I'm guessing it doesn't define her. The fact that she's got a disability is so much less than the love and reward you get from her, I'm imagining.
I think, yes, like, I know what you're saying there. It doesn't define her. Some individuals with disabilities are sort of claiming that identity. They're saying, you know, sort of like a reclamation, like, I am, you know, I'm proudly a disabled person. But I mean, Elise has the full range of human emotions, right? There isn't, she's a person like anyone else who gets really angry, who is, you know, the comedian in our family. And of course, I think the key for me was I'd had a first daughter, and, you know, I think Ariel was 9 months old when I was pregnant with Elise. And it struck me as so poignant how, you know, they felt, these baby, my babies felt the same inside me, right? I could feel Elise moving, and I loved her the same, right? That didn't change.
And did you know that Elise was Down syndrome before you had her? Did you have to make that choice?
Yes. So it's interesting to me, actually, that it even is. I mean, okay, I believe in a woman's right to choose, but it's interesting that phrasing of choice, right? Because I can think about, first of all, my husband when we were dating, so going back many years, we've been married 15 years. And so maybe 17 years ago, we met walking her dogs. And so we were out walking our dogs together, and we used to have these long conversations about everything. And I said to him one day, okay, you know, what if you got me pregnant? And, you know, it was sort of, we were kind of joking around, and, well, obviously I would take care of you, he said. And then I sort of took it up a notch and said, well, what about if the child had special needs? And in that moment, I kind of, you know, held my breath. Would we be on the same page? And he said to me, well, it would be our child, wouldn't it? And so then fast forward to now, we're in the obstetrician's office, high-risk OBGYN, and we're about to receive that diagnosis prenatally. And she says, she delivered the news very neutrally, which I would advocate for. And she said, because I, you know, I don't think it's fair to be swaying parents one way or the other, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, your baby's going to be born with Down syndrome. I sort of held my breath. You know, is he still going to feel the same way? And this is after we'd had a repeat ultrasound and a blood test done, after they found a soft marker for Down syndrome. I think there's 120 soft markers they can see in ultrasound. And our daughter had a short nasal bone. So anyway, back to that moment. And he just sort of looked at, and so then the physician said, I have to ask this. Would you want to terminate the pregnancy? And I sort of, you know, held my breath again. I knew how I felt. And my husband just said, absolutely not. You know, we wouldn't consider that. Oh. Kind of deep sigh of relief for me. But I thought afterwards, in reflecting, like, my daughter's now 12 years old. And in reflecting on that moment, I think, can you imagine having now also had a third daughter? I have two typically developing children and then my daughter with Down syndrome. And I can't imagine if we asked that of any parent who is carrying a pregnancy, because children with Down syndrome are otherwise typically healthy. You know, there are definitely a host of medical concerns that accompany having a child with Down syndrome, but many children are otherwise healthy other than that extra genetic material, which sort of characterizes Down syndrome. They have three copies of the 21st chromosome. And so imagine a doctor said to it, you know, would you like an abortion when you're pregnant? I struggle with that.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I suppose it all depends on the circumstances, whether the child's got Down syndrome or is a completely healthy baby. A lot all depends on the circumstances of the mother or the parents at the time, whether they think they can cope. Mm. Because in another way, it's cruel to bring a child into the world that isn't going to be looked after.
Yeah, and so I would love for our society to just become a more supportive, inclusive place, right? I think it doesn't, what I've learned is that it isn't my daughter that's the risk. You know, we talk about the risk of having a child with Down syndrome. It isn't my daughter that's the risk. It's the other way around. It's society that puts her life at risk. And it's just the way that we view disability. And I think the reason for that is we have to look at the broader context. And if we go back and just this whole idea of ableism, right? Believing that an abled body is better. And if we look back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the reason that I probably got asked if, you know, would you want to abort this child? Or it used to be the question, that wasn't really a question. It was medical professionals were advising parents to put their child with Down syndrome in institutions.
Shocking.
Yeah. And then these institutions were rife with violence and abuse, and they became places of dehumanization. So I think this is why today there's still all this stigma around Down syndrome and disability because of this historical context of how these people were treated, right, as less than human.
Yeah.
I
agree. I was just thinking when you said about your husband and you spoke about it years before, I guess what would be hard for any couple is if he had changed his mind or you changed your mind. So one of the parents wants the child and the other doesn't. I mean, that must be a really difficult situation.
Yeah, I've heard of situations, I've met, you know, hundreds of families who have children with Down syndrome. Obviously, it's not something people probably want to talk about very openly. We were very much on the same page and able to communicate with one another how we were feeling. I think in that case, it just might be wise to speak to a therapist, yeah. Right? Like how anything in a marriage can divide a couple, really. And actually, I do write very candidly about the difficulties that my husband and I experienced in our marriage, particularly around the time of the COVID pandemic, kids were all home and like many parents went through that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I suppose as well, I mean, you'd already had one daughter, so you knew what it was like to have a baby. But did she have special needs? Did you have to change the house in any way? Or was she otherwise just like your other daughter?
Yeah, I think with Elise and with, you know, with many babies with Down syndrome, part of the syndrome would be sort of a delay in development. So did I have to adapt my household? No, she doesn't have any motor needs, but just I think I've had to adapt my expectations.
Yeah.
And I advocate, I'm a very driven person. I was, you know, I described it as I was sort of sitting up on my high horse before, and having Elise in my life has allowed me to sort of stand with two feet on the ground, looking at the people standing next to me. Right. And I think she's helped ground me. I now view the world differently, and parenting her has allowed me to, I think, be more patient, be more understanding, tolerance of all kinds of differences. I value her way of being in the world. And I think I've seen it in my own other two daughters, how when you have someone who processes things a bit differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like the cells in her brain actually move a little bit more slowly. And there can be some cellular confusion. So if you think of your brain as a library, Elise goes to get the information. She goes to find that book, and there might be two copies, or the book might be in the wrong spot, right? So it takes her a little bit longer to find that information.
That's and a great way of explaining it. Great way.
Thank you. I think another lovely, wonderful parent explained that way to me. And it's been very helpful, right? In understanding how she's learning and processing and just having patience. I don't think anyone would ever say that learning to have more patience is a bad thing, right? It isn't always easy, but I see great value in being able to accept the breadth of our human experience.
Yeah. It's just a shame, because you mentioned earlier about society, and it's a shame that society, we haven't moved on as far as I'd like to think, because I've spoken to people with disabilities. I'm just trying to think of one off the top of my head, a wheelchair user recently. And she said, I feel invisible. She said, there are still not ramps. There are still not, they're not geared up for it on transport. And we should have come a lot further, shouldn't we, nowadays?
I would love to see that. I think about that now. I think about how homes are designed. Why don't we think of this concept of universal design, right? Whereby when we meet the needs of those who would be considered to have exceptionalities, we're actually just meeting everyone's needs, right? For example, the example you gave of a ramp, that would be really beneficial for people in wheelchairs, but also mothers pushing babies in strollers, elderly folks. Like, it just would meet the needs of a more diverse group. And I think we can definitely set up our education systems in that way as well, in thinking about a universal design and meeting the needs of every learner, every person. And so I think it's like I talk about, I feel like ableism and disability is sort of the last of isms to be addressed. And so I hope that my book can be kind of a jumping off point, a conversation point, so that we can get our best thinkers, our best people on this, right? And people talking about it and thinking about disability.
Yeah.
And how we can support each other, really.
Well, I think it's important. And I mean, I've certainly learned something. I didn't realize until you explained it about how Elise has brain is working differently to ours. So even just that, you know, you've taught just one person something. But the actual book, it's not Elisa's story. It's not your memoir. It's a series of essays. No. Is that correct?
Yes. And I think you mentioned about people with disabilities being invisible. So I do want to be very clear. This is not in any way Elisa's story. It's my story as her mother, but it's more, you know, and the other lies. It's more than just, you know, at the heart, it's me confronting my own ableism. But I wanted to push back against stereotypes about what it means to be a parent to a child with a disability. And I am more than just Elisa's mom.
Yes.
Right? The self contains multitudes. And I wanted to, you know, push back and offer a countercultural views about being a mom to a child with Down syndrome as well. So I write about other facets of my life. One of the essays is called Extramarital Sex, and I'm talking about fantasy and desire. And I think there's something countercultural about putting sex and Down syndrome in the same book as well, right? We desexualize people with disabilities. And that's not what I'm writing about, but even just putting those two concepts in the same book is pushing back, right? Against these stereotypes, these norms.
Pushing boundaries, but not in a bad way, in a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think it sounds great. Thank you for being so open and honest. I will just tell our listeners, you can't buy it yet, I believe. It's not out till January.
It should be out now. It should be out now.
I expect that's in... Are you in Canada?
It's out in Canada and the US as of the beginning of December. Ah. But it should also be out in the UK and... I'm hopeful other parts of Europe as well.
Well, we can certainly check that. Just check with your publicist because they have sent me information that it's out 16th of January. But all people need to do is go on the go on your search engine and put in the book "I Don't Do Disability and Other Lies I've Told Myself" by Adele Purdom, who we're speaking to now. And do you want to just give your website address out as well, Adele?
Sure. It's www.adellepurdham.ca, AdellePurdham.
Wonderful. Well, good luck with the book. Give all your three lovely daughters a hug from me and have a wonderful Christmas.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. And same to you.
Pleasure. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.